or the brothers of Shaitan, which Allah Ta'ala calls Shayateenul Ins, that they are human shaitans. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, Innal Mubazzirina Kanu Ikhwana Shayateen وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Surah Bani Israel, 17th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 27, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily the extravagant peoples. Who are the extravagant peoples? The Quran has used the word mubazzirin. Innal mubazzirina. Verily, most certainly, undoubtedly, the extravagant peoples, they are the squanderers, the wastrels, those who follow a dissolute course of life. And the dissolute means they are loose in their morals, they are immoral peoples, lewd people, licentious peoples. Remember, I've used these words in the story of the Sodomite peoples of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, wherein they were described as being loose in morals, they lewd people, they were wastrels, they were licentious peoples, they were debauchers. So dissolute peoples they were. Now this word, innal mubazzirina, such extravagant peoples are brothers of the shayateen. Ikhwan al-shayateen. Such people are brothers of the shayateen, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kana shaytanu li rabbihi kafura. And shaytan is ever ungrateful to his sustainer. So they also are ingrates. They are also ungrateful peoples to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That concludes the second command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind, which was, and do not come near adultery, for verily it is an obscenity and it is an evil way, which is expressed in the Quran in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as follows. I recited that last week as the second command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Now we go on to the third command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in today's lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَا بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. Surah Nur, 24th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 31, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they, the women folk of Islam, the mothers and the wives of Islam, and they must not strike their feet so as to make known what they conceal of their adornment. And they, the women folk of Islam, our mothers, our sisters, our wives, and our daughters, and they, the women folk, must not strike their feet. They must not bang their feet on the ground so as to make known what they should conceal of their beauty, of their adornment. That is the ayat of the Quran. Brief commentary as follows. There is a shameful walk and a shameless walk of women folk. There is a way in which women folk dress shamefully or dress shamelessly. There's a way in which women folk walk shamefully or they walk shamelessly. The one detracts. Which one? The one detracts. The one which is full of shame and haya. It detracts. In other words, people look away. The shameless walk and the shameless dress and the shameless way is one which invites attention. How many of our women folk resist and restrain themselves? I ask you, what is the position of Muslim women folk today? Look around you. That is all I ask you to consider when we talk of this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so clearly stated in the Quran Majid. The fourth command, that was the third one. The fourth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Pak is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَا تَقْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Surah Ahzab, 33rd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 32. Allah's command is as follows, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be not, O women folk, be not soft, meaning be not tender, be not loving, be not gentle in speech, lest one in whose heart is a disease feel tempted for you, and speak, if you have to, a speech which is appropriate, meaning which is convenient and which is just. Let's look at this ayat again, and then I'll explain a few words. The women folk of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them that when they speak to strange men, how should they address themselves to strange men when such a need arises for them to address themselves to strange men? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and women folk, you must not speak softly, tenderly in other words, فَلَا تَغْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ, lovingly and gently when you speak to men. Do not be with them soft and tender in speech. Why must you not do so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَطْمَعُ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرْضٌ. There may be, and there are many, men who have ulterior motives, that your speech, your gentle and loving speech, may invite them, may tempt them, may tempt them, may entice them towards you, lest one in whose heart is a disease feel desire for you, feel temptation for you, feel tempted by your inviting voice. And then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how should you speak to them? وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Yes, speak to them. If you are forced to do so, if you are compelled to do so, do speak to them. But let that speech be an appropriate one. In other words, in such a way that your voice is covered in some way or the other, or that your voice is convenient and it is just, but not one that is full of tenderness and love and invitation. That is the ayat of the Quran, which I have explained. Now let us look at the brief commentary I have given. In the speech of men, in the speech of mankind, in other words, the word men here refers to male and female, in the speech of men lie many subtle messages. In the speech of women lie many more hidden messages. In the speech of men, male, lie many subtle messages. In the speech of women, the female, lie many hidden messages also. This is a game that men and women enjoy playing. The disastrous consequences of such verbal exchanges are well known to us. In other words, we know such conversation to what disasters it can lead. What is the position of Muslims today? That is all I ask you to consider. No elaborate commentary from me. We have many commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contained in the Quran. I'm going to do quite a few of them. But what I'm asking, because this is also part of the lesson, these are the laws and the ahkam, these are the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you and I ignore them, and we don't care about them, and the women folk don't care about them, and we are not talking here of a hadith, we're talking here what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, commands us directly to observe. And we do not do so. Now he or she who breaks the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me, what kind of society are we breeding and creating? The fifth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Short commands. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Surah Ahzab, 33rd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 33, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and O women folk of Islam, stay within your houses. And O you women folk of Islam, stay within your houses. Stay inside your homes. Subhanallah. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. Surah Ahzab, 33rd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 33, clear command of Allah Ta'ala. Tell me, what happens today? You know what happens where our women folk are concerned? We farm out our children to nursery schools, secular schools, creches, madrasas, and so on. We shift responsibility for keeping a clean and pure home to servants. We join social clubs and health, judo, karate, and other sports bodies. We engage ourselves in endless meetings, social calls, etc. The result is that we transgress a clear command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because many of our women folk consider our homes as prisons, and this command of Allah ta'ala as being inappropriate and unjust for the times in which we live. Our women folk complain that this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too restrictive and it is too limiting, that it denies us freedom, it denies them freedom of movement and equality of sex. To go out of the house for good, and what I wish to clear here is that to go out of the house for good and justifiable reasons, appropriately, Islamically dressed in full haya garb is permissible. But to do so without a just cause is harmful and very damaging. There is neglect of home, neglect of elders, neglect of children, and neglect of duty, together with the damages that result from constant traffic, human and mechanical traffic. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Our women folk that refuse to remain within their homes, which is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet we know, and I have cleared this up, that permission has been granted. You can go out, provided you have a valid reason to do so. You have a lawful reason to do so. Good, you can. It does not matter. But if you do so, then you must be properly and appropriately dressed. And then you do your task, you carry out your duty, and you come back to your home. But most of our wives and our mothers and our sisters are mostly, and our daughters, are engaged in neglect, neglecting their homes and all the people that are our dependents. And then together with this, and I've had plenty of complaint about this, the damages that result from constant traffic, from their constant movement in and out of the house. You know how many things happen? Human and mechanical means, one is the souring of relationships, because women tend to carry out certain things which is perhaps in their nature and disposition of backbiting, tale-bearing, deceit, lies. How many things happen? They do many things which are major sins as a result of going up and confronting and meeting there and having conversation with their friends. Also, how many times has it happened that they have gone out? Mechanical traffic would mean in which they have been involved in losses, damages that have resulted. How many homes have been burgled? How many cars have been unnecessarily damaged? How many accidents have occurred? Not that they are, we are not here being, they say we male are chauvinists. I'm not talking about that, but it has happened where the female keeps pulling the car out and going out, running here, running errands, and doing all the unnecessary things which could have been done by a son or a brother, which could have been done by the husband. Small matters, and they have gone out and caused a lot of expenses to that household. That's besides the damage to the children. Children running around, and how many children have been involved in accidents and in running around in that particular environment and learning harmful things and damaging things, particularly as far as language is concerned. Dad is at work, mommy is at home. Mommy is supposed to look after the kids. If she is not at home also, you know what the children pick up? Just let them go on the streets and you'll see what language they pick up, what kind of talk they pick up. Go and see what they learn. 10, even younger, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old children can tell you about sex, which will shock the parents. And they know that that is something that is very private and should not be discussed with the parents, so they hide the fact. Look at the pornography that they pick up, and so on, by visiting neighbors and so on. So if the mother is not there to look after them, a lot of damage is done. I also say thousands upon thousands of Muslim women who need not work do so just to be away from their home and from their responsibilities and from their motherly and wifely duties. They want to be like the men. And they want to be like the men, otherwise they feel that we are giving them an inferior status. in the light of the above command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am asking you, what is the position of Muslims today? That is all I ask you to consider, and that takes us on to the sixth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular lesson, which is as follows. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslimin is, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiban, wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 168, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O mankind, O peoples, eat of that which is lawful, eat of that which is pure, wholesome and good, and follow not the footsteps of shaitan, for verily shaitan is your open enemy. Let's look at it again. O people, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْعَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا Eat of that which is lawful and pure, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ Do not follow the way, the path and the footsteps of shaitan, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason for that is إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ The shaitan is to you an open enemy. We talk a lot about halal and haram, and we pretend to know a great deal about halal and haram. Yet, tell me, how much of what we acquire, of what we earn, is really lawful and permissible? And how much of what we consume is really and truly clean and pure? It is through eating and drinking haram that shaitan gains easy access into our bellies, into our hearts and into our minds and imaginations to carry out his mischief making. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have recited to you is very clear. Most food and drink products today are manufactured, produced and packed in non-Muslim factories. I'm asking you, how much care, how much consideration is taken by them in the exercise of its preparation? Halal stamps and certificates are only a money-making scheme in which the more lax the inspectorate, the more lax and easy-going the inspection, the greater the production of that particular company, of that particular manufacturer, and the greater the income of the certificate and stamp providers. So in other words, the more lax they are, the more income they derive, the more the manufacturer makes its profit all round. This is exactly what is happening. Doubtful canned and frozen foods and doubtful beverages, sweets and chocolates abound. Housewives, particularly working ones, and those who like to read romance and fiction novels the whole day, and those who like to sit around and watch television shows, and video films the whole day, find these to be the perfect solution for the kitchen. We eat these polluted foods, doubtful foods, all the time. Then we find also that wines with classic sounding names such as tonics and non-alcoholic beverages and drinks have entered the scene. They have entered the orbit of foods and drinks. Medicines with alcohol are preferable to many of us, whereas there are alternatives. If wife, mother, sister or daughter cares and heeds this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have recited to you earlier, then they will find plenty of nutrition in fresh vegetables and fruits, fresh meats and fishes for the kitchen and the table. A little bit of effort is required on the part of our mothers and sisters. In the light of the above command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am asking you, what is the position of Muslims today with regard to this command of Allah ta'ala? And I am asking you, that is all I ask you to consider for the time being. Just look around and judge our Muslim ummah. The seventh command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Utulu ma uhiya ilayka minal kitab wa aqimis salah inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkari wala zikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Al-Kafirun, Surah An-Kabut, 29th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 45, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite of that which has been revealed to you of the Quran, of the book, in other words, tilawa. Make as much, this is a command of Allah ta'ala, perform as much, recite as much of the Quran as you can. Recite of that which has been revealed to you of the book, in other words, of the kitab, which kitab? Quran. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa aqimi salah, and establish prayer, establish and perform salah punctually. Inna salata tanha anil fahashai wal munkari. Verily salah restrains, that is to say, it prevents indecency and it prevents evil deeds from being performed. And says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la zikrullahi akbar. And verily, the zikr of Allah is the greatest virtue. It is the greatest deed. It is the most noble deed. Wala zikrullahi akbar. Akbariya meaning it is the noblest and the most virtuous of acts and deeds. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and know ye, wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'oon. Allah ta'ala says, and Allah knows all that you do. Everything that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows perfectly well, because absolute knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ayat of the Quran, Surah An-Kabut, 29 Surah of the Quran, ayat number 45. Now this is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqimi salah. That is a command. That recite, perform tilawa, make tilawa of the Quran, and perform salah on time. We are always, however, in a hurry. This is the commentary. We are always in a hurry. Everything we do in haste. Until we find that we are struck down. It is too late. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we should recite the Quran as often as we can, morning and evening. That we should be punctual with our salah. And that we should engage regularly in zikrullah. Constantly in zikrullah. These acts of worship will gain for us the mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereby, as a result of gaining the mercy and inviting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be able to restrain our emotions, and we will be able to cool our passions, and we will thereby able to prevent and protect ourselves from committing shameful and sinful deeds. It is a process. We have to give in order to obtain. And what we have to give is discipline. We have to give is duty. And when we observe these ahkam and these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously, inna salata, Allah ta'ala says, you make tilawah of the Quran, and when you make tilawah, and then Allah ta'ala says, and you must perform salah. In salah you make tilawah of the Quran, and out of salah you must also make tilawah of the Quran. Subhanallah. Therefore Allah ta'ala says, perform tilawah of the Quran, and then perform salah as well. Now you are reciting Quran out of salah, and you're reciting Quran in salah, and zikrullah is also Quran. It is also revelation. It is also the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's Quran, 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 the revealed world, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah ta'ala say? He says, inna salata, and this Quran recitation, inna salata, and the salah, tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkari. When you observe this, then the result of that will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place restraint upon ourselves, and we will be able to contain ourselves. Verily, salah, prayers, tilawa, zikrullah restrains and prevents a person from committing indecency and evil acts. There is in salah, brothers, those that come to me and say, Mawlana, I do observe and I do make zikrullah and I do perform salah and I do perform a tilawah of the Quran, but still I am inclined to do things that are against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, I have explained earlier in the lesson, where does lack of restraint come from? Because there is no ikhlas. the iman is weak. We are not absolutely convinced in the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one has got taqwa and fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to obey. And when you obey, and then Allah's rahmah will come. And when Allah's rahmah comes and penetrates into you because you are sincere, then obviously Allah's help will come and you will be able. Guarantee, hear Allah's words. Then that salah and that tilawa is going to penetrate and come into you and prevent you from committing sin, because you are worried. Here is a woman in front of you. She is offering herself to you, but it is now almost Isha Salah. You have not performed Isha. Or if you have performed Isha, you're looking forward to Subuh Salah. You are not going to perform an indecent act with this woman, because in the morning you have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even if you reach that climax and you are right there in such a situation, you will run away from there and you will escape from there and you will, you know, something will overcome you. Allah's protection will overcome you. You will not perform an evil act with her, because Subuh Salah, you must be pure, you must be clean, you have to stand in front and give account of yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is bound to happen and this protection will come. Here it is, Allah ta'ala says, from fahsh, all the things that are indecent and obscene, Allah will protect you through the barakah of that salah and the rahmah of that salah. And munkar is all the evil deeds. Allah ta'ala will prevent you. Allah will help you. Now you tell me, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He will help, He will guide, and He will prevent you from indulging in indecent and obscene things, then what guarantee do you want from me or from mankind or from any alim? Allah's words these are. So we say, these are the spiritual mechanisms of control over our nafs, placed there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by divine ordainment. So what is the situation with us today? Do I have to ask you? When it comes to tilawah of the Quran, look around. Don't look at too far. Just look around your immediate environment and look at ourselves, our own families, our relatives, our friends. Just look around. Each one of us is the leader of a tribe. Each one of us in our family, there are a few hundred people involved. The extended family, we are over 100 people, only ourselves, each one of us. All the fathers that are here. Now looking at us, I'm asking you, when it comes to this particular command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is our position today? Look around you and then look at yourself. That is all I ask. Now we come to the eighth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be found in the Quran. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Surah Ali Imran, third surah of the Quran, ayat number 104, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let they be among you, let they exist in your community, in your jama'ah, and let they be among you a group of people inviting others to goodness and virtue, enjoining that which is right and equitable, and forbidding that which is wrong and evil. And says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are the successful ones. Subhanallah. Let's look at it again. And let they exist among you, and let there be among you a group of people, a jama'ah of people, inviting others to goodness and to virtue, enjoining others to that which is right and equitable, to that which is just, and forbidding others and forbidding them from what is wrong and what is evil and what is unjust. And such people who go around inviting people to good and forbidding them from evil, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? They are the muflihun, they are the successful ones. Commentary: to build a just and caring community, you need a band of people to continuously and consistently, as well as constantly, remind people of what is good and what is bad, of what we should be doing and what we should be avoiding. In our world today, such people are shunned, despised and dishonored by society. They are made the brunt of many jokes. Much humor follows them. I'm asking you, is it not a fact that the same was done to the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Was not the same done to the firm and steadfast believers of all time, throughout time? You know, shaitan has built such a fire of blindness within us that we fail to respond to many of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, look at the position of Muslims today. That is all I ask of you. Without further elaboration on this particular subject, let's go on to the ninth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ninth command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as follows, says Allah ta'ala in the Quran, خُزْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Surah Tawbah, 9th surah of the Quran, ayat number 103, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take charity. Charity here means zakat and sadaqah. Take charity out of their property and wealth so that it may clean them and purify them. Take charity, we must take charity, in other words, we must give zakat and sadaqah out from our property and out from our wealth, so that by giving zakat and giving sadaqah, we may become clean and we may become purified. This is it. That is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give zakat and give sadaqah. خُزْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, so that we may be cleansed and purified thereby, by the giving of such charity. Now I'm saying, and the commentary is, the giving of zakat and sadaqah today on many Muslims has become a burden. Yet it is a clear command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Much evil and sin enters society when charity, meaning zakat and sadaqah, is neglected. The harm and the damage done to society is enormous. Restraint and discipline is thrown overboard. Look where the damage comes. You ask me, why is there such a lot of sin? Why so many cases that take place in the courts throughout the land have Muslims being punished for crimes? Why are there Muslims involved in so many crimes? What is the reason? Look here. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. By the giving of zakat and by the giving of charity and giving of sadaqah, we become cleansed. Our society becomes cleansed and we become cleansed and purified. If you don't give them, we just put the opposite word. Look at the other side of the coin. If we do not give zakat and we do not give sadaqah, what is it? Zakat is what is ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving of which is compulsory. Sadaqah is the free flow, what we give optionally. In other words, we give of our own quite freely, which is not compulsory. Whatever we give of our wealth, freely. So says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we give, and we give as Allah has ordained, and we give some extra also, what happens? Allah will clean such a society and such individuals, and Allah will purify them. Now the other side of the coin, if we do not give zakat and sadaqah, Allah will not clean us, Allah will not purify us. If Allah does not clean us and Allah does not purify us, what happens with us? Then we remain unclean, we remain unpurified. In other words, then we create a dirty society. We create a society filled with evil and vice, crime and sin. There it is. The harm and damage done by not giving charity is enormous. Restraint and discipline in a society is thrown overboard, and crime and violence and evil deeds increase in such a community. Now I'm going to make a point here. Muslims fail to cleanse and purify themselves through righteous acts and deeds. Therefore, demonstrations, placards, and protest marches are the ways of the kuffar. They will not solve the problem of crime and sin in Muslim areas and in Muslim communities. The rising tide of evil and sin and crime can only be stemmed by turning to the true obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the light of the above commandment of Allah ta'ala, look around our condition today. What do you see? That is all I ask you to consider. 10th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming up, which is as follows, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 119, commands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O you who believe, O mu'mineen, fear Allah, and be with those who are the truthful ones, be with the true ones. Taqwa, meaning Allah fear, is essential for obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-powerful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty. And man is so tiny and so weak. Through Allah fear, man comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as man's obedience increases. Such closeness and proximity and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased and helped by seeking out the right company and keeping away from the wrong company. The sincere, obedient and truthful believers are the best of companions for a Muslim. True, sincere, obedient and true, truthful Muslims, as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the kind of companionship we should seek. Because they concentrate on good and they abstain from evil. What, however, is our condition today? What do we Muslims enjoy? We enjoy the company of the worldly, of the partygoers and the merrymakers, of the pleasure seekers. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been removed from our hearts thereby, and in its place we fear worldly loss, we fear material loss, the loss of material pleasures and material things. You judge us Muslims, go and ask them. We are worried about our security, we worried about our material security. Who worries about the securing their iman? Ask me, go around and ask the Muslimin, in these dangerous times, particularly in which we are living. What are we afraid of? What is our greatest fear? We talk of a future, a new South Africa. What is our greatest fear? Will we be overwhelmed when the blacks take over? Nobody is worried about the condition and the state of their iman. What will the future be for Islam? What will the future be? What will the situation be of Islam? Nobody is concerned with Allah's deen. All of us are concerned with ourselves, our lives, and how much material loss will we have to sustain. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. O mu'mineen, you have no other concern. Your entire concern should be ittaqullah, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, foremost, uppermost. So I am saying here, we are going to live forever in this dunya, and that we will elude death. That is how you and I live. We live in such a way as if death is never going to come to us. What a misconception, and how superficial is our thinking. The rebellious ones of former nations were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their faithlessness and for their fickleness, and that is the faithlessness and the fickleness we find in Muslim society today. Are shattered by a people, and excesses are committed. Now mostly when I speak here of excesses, I mean moral excesses. I mean moral transgressions. I mean breaking all moral barriers. I mean living a free life, a libertine life. That's what I mean. When moral barriers are shattered and excesses are freely committed, then the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend on such a people. This punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for moral excesses, if this does not come in the form of natural calamities. Now natural calamities, you know what I mean. Natural calamities meaning floods, meaning disasters, meaning earthquakes, meaning, you know, all kinds of things that happen, earthquakes and all kinds of volcanic eruptions and so forth and so on, all these things. Do you think we are going to be saved? Look around us. What is our condition? What is the state of Muslim society? That is what I ask you to consider. And the 11th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming up, it is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَزَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Surah Ahzab, 33rd, 33rd surah of the Quran, ayat number 21, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verily you have an excellent example to follow in the messenger of Allah, for him who has hope in Allah and hope in the last day, and who recite the name of Allah much. In other words, they make much zikrullah, engage much in zikrullah. Here it is, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to us, to his ummah is, لَقَدْ كَانَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Muslimin, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. You have an excellent example in the messenger of Allah, so follow him. Follow him if you have hope in Allah and you have hope of success in the last day, and also recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. Commentary, a comprehensive, all-encompassing and all-embracing faith is at our disposal. There is no compulsion that we should follow this faith, this religion of Islam. Then there are the systems of living evolved by man, in which hope and desire is placed on material things. In other words, there are two religions, if we can put it like that. One is the religion of Islam, and the other is all the other ways and all the other systems of life. We also have the choice of remembering Allah very, very much, or loving the world very, very dearly, and of choosing between this world and the next. Little people, the lost and misdirected people of the world, make all the wrong choices. Those who make the wrong choices in the light of this ayat of the Quran, they are little people. They are lost and misdirected people. And they are the people who make all the wrong choices. For example, they choose the guidance of the kuffar unbelievers. They place their hopes on material things. They firmly believe that eternal success and security is to be found in this world. And their minds are continuously occupied with secular visions and secular dreams. In the face of the above commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we take Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a perfect example and model to follow, to hold on to, and to cherish, and that we engage mentally often in the process of reciting the beautiful and inspiring names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us look around at the condition of Muslims today. Take a look around you. That is all I'm asking you to do. We have arrived at this point of our lessons, titled Shaitan's Plan for Man, after a lengthy process in which we have gone through the stories of several civilizations of the past. The common denominator between all of them has been their refusal, the refusal of the people of the various prophets of Allah Ta'ala we have dealt with, to listen to and to follow their respective prophets. Such non-compliance and non-adherence to the teachings of their prophets and the sunnah of their prophets, accompanied by opposition to their prophets, by retaliation and rebellion, together with indulgence by the peoples, with indifference from the peoples, and a passion for evil and sin by the peoples, led to their destruction and eventual termination by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For your information, the story that we have dealt with thus far, from the month, holy month of Ramadan of the year 1411 of the Hijra, equivalent to 1991, or actually 1990, to now the month of Rajab of the year 1412 of the Hijra, equivalent to January 1992. The stories we have dealt with so far in the series of lessons have been the following. One was the entire origin and story of Shaitan. Then we did the story of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Thereafter we did the story of his son Nabi Shis alayhi salatu wasalam. And with each prophet's name, you can link that, the way whereby Shaitan misled their people. That has been our subject. Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Shaitan tried to mislead him and his people. Nabi Shis alayhi salatu wasalam, and how Shaitan, if you recall, worked amongst his people. He preached to them, and how Shaitan went and enticed them and tempted them and misled them. Then we did the story of Nabi Idris alayhi salatu wasalam, and his particular message to his people, his teaching to his people, and how shaitan went amongst the people, and what pattern he followed to seduce them. Then we did the story of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and shaitan. Then we did the story of Nabi Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, and how shaitan performed waswas on the people of Nabi Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we did the story of Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam, and how shaitan performed waswas on the people of Nabi Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. Then you will remember we went into the lengthy story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the story of the cow and shaitan's performances in that particular story. Then we did Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Qarun, and the whole performance of shaitan in that particular story. Thereafter we went into another lengthy story which took us also quite a long period, that is the story of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Also two aspects of, to his story. We did the story of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam and Bilqis, and you remember the performances of shaitan there. And then we did Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and Harut and Marut, and all the performances of shaitan and the plans and ploys of shaitan to seduce the people there. And then we came on to the story which preceded the one of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and that was the qissa of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, also in two sections. One was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and how shaitan performed there. And then we did the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Namrud, and all the activities of shaitan with the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Namrud. Then we came to the story which we are dealing with now, which was the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, the Sodomites. So at present we were doing the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sodomite peoples. In each story you will have noticed, we looked at the responses of the people of the various prophets. And we looked to the calling of the respective prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We looked at the responses of the people of the various prophets. And we looked to the calling of the respective prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each time, in each story, we find that it is one of blatant insubordination by the people. One of blatant contumacy by the people. Which means that the people we find in each story were obstinate. They were disobedient. They resisted the truth. They opposed the divinely ordained and lawfully constituted authority with contempt. We ourselves live in the time when we belong to the Ummah of the finest, and the final Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the final book, the Al-Quran. We have the final guidance, the As-Sunnah. I'm asking you, how are we responding to the call of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the light of all these stories that I've told you? The pattern in each one has been the same, as I have mentioned to you: insubordination and contumacy, obstinacy and resistance to the truth. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us these stories in the Quran only for historical value? No. These stories are recounted in the Quran for a very special reason, that the Ummah of Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should derive and learn a lesson from them, that we should not repeat the mistakes of the peoples of the past, that we should not act with insubordination, with disobedience, and with contumacy to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have given to you so many commandments of Allah, 11 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so far, and in each one I am appealing and asking you, look around you and consider. Ask yourselves the question, how are we behaving? How are we conducting ourselves? Are we or aren't we repeating the mistakes of the past? So we say, all these stories that I've told you so far, all of them are told in the Quran Majid to open our eyes, to open our hearts, and to open our minds to the truth of the divine message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. These stories tell us what the divine decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been in the past, so that we know of them and that we are fully aware of them and that we may take care to avoid them. I have recited to you 11 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto mankind. And each time I have asked you to look at the condition of the Muslims and to consider how we, the Ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have responded to the divine commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before resuming our lesson on Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam and the Sodomite peoples, I would like you to consider a few more commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. Brothers, what happened in my preparation so far? What happened? I came to here and looking at the Quran Majid, I found another about 20 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I do? Our lesson is all-encompassing, all-embracing. I have done 11 commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you and I are blatantly indifferent towards and are ignoring. Now, our lesson is not restricted only to us. Many of us are not aware of many of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if we are aware, we are not aware of where it is in the Quran and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it across to us. What do I do? These 11 I've dealt with. What about the 15 or 20 others? Do I do them or do I avoid them? The lesson will stretch. It is not really part of our lesson. I could not resist myself. It was impossible. And the next ayat which I'm going to recite will give you the reason why I could not contain myself and my pen from writing down that which I have. It is important that it be done. And that those commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be brought forward to us so that we are aware this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to avoid. And I could not. What I'm about to recite to you is one of the most inspiring verses of the Quran. It is a deep verse. It is a verse that is full. The word to use here is pregnant with meaning. And as I say, one of the very special and inspiring verses of the Quran. Beautiful. And remember what I have said. When the Quran is recited and the ayat of the Quran are very short and brief, then you must know they are very succinct and they are full of punch and power. They carry a lot of weight. And these are the following. In Surah Shams, 91st Surah of the Quran, Surah number 91, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of six undeniable evidences of His greatness, of His glory, of His authority, and of His unity. This is the dalil of Tawheed, in other words. What I am saying is the dalil of Tawheed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in six undeniable signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These six signs of the might and glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are known and they are accepted by all of mankind. Entire humanity is the judge of what Quran is saying here, of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And entire mankind admits to its truth, the truth that is contained in these words that are about to come. Muslim as well as non-Muslim, all will admit to the truth of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this short 12-word, six ayats of the Quran. Six ayats of the Quran in 12 words. Entire humanity admits, and if entire humanity admits of that, then they admit that Allah and the creator and sustainer of this entire universe is one. They are created, these six evidences and signs of Allah are created by and they are sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and none share or participate in its government. The six vast and obvious signs mentioned in the Quran in Surah Shams are the following. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالشَّمْسِ وَدُوْهَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طهاها. سورة شمس 91st سورة of the Quran آيات number 1-6 says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the sun and its growing brightness. By the sun, and when that sun comes out, it brightens, it heralds the day, and the world becomes a brighter place, like a globe, and the whole world becomes. Who can deny this? Has any man ever denied it? Who can deny that when the sun comes out, it lights up the world? Impossible, none can deny. By the sun, says Allah, وَالشَّمْسِ وَدُهَاهَا. By the sun and its growing brightness, says Allah. And the word بَايَ means the washams, the wow is for qasam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I take oath upon this fact, that when the sun rises, the sun brightens up. By the sun and its growing brightness, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And by the moon as it follows the sun. And by the moon as it comes out after the sun. And by the moon as it follows the sun. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And by the day as it shows its splendor, its glory. And by the day as it shows its splendor and its glory, where everything starts. Everything goes into function. Man goes to work, the farmer goes to his work, then plow the field. Everything starts working. Everything starts functioning when the day comes. And by the day, as it shows its splendor and its glory, for everything can be seen. The beautiful scene, the mountains, lakes, rivers, grass, everything that is of beauty, everything can be seen, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the day, as it shows its splendor, as it reveals itself to mankind, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And by the night, as it covers light with darkness. Yes? And then, you know it happens with us, 4, 5, 6 o'clock, we start tiring out. What a feeble and weak man is man. We start tiring. As it comes, we start putting our tools down, getting ready to go back home. We are tired, we want to go to rest. So Allah, who can deny this? وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then covers the day with a blanket of darkness. And by the night, as it covers with darkness, that is, covers the world, it covers light with darkness, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. And by the heaven, and him who created this heaven, and by the heaven, you tell me, who can create such a thing? Man, who can create a heaven? Only a God can, only one God can, and that God, and that one God, can only be Allah. How many could there be in the planning, and in the architect, and in the designing of these heavens? Could there be more than one? Impossible. What a dispute there would have been amongst them if there were many sitting on that panel to decide how the heavens should be. There cannot be more than one. It is obvious to mankind, to any man with a little bit of logic and reason, whether he be educated or not educated, he will understand this, that there can be only one that has created this world with such perfection. So says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the heaven, and him who created this heaven, and then says Allah, وَالْعَرَدِ وَمَا تَهَاهَا. And by the earth, and him who spread this earth out like the way it is spread out. Who can it be? Who has spread this earth out like this? Who designed it? Where a river should be, where the lakes should be, where the oceans should be, where the mountains should be, where the valleys should be. Who has decided? Who planned it? Could it have been more than one? No. There would have been such a lot of division, such a lot of argumentation, and such a lot of conflict had there been more than one God. So man admits to the fact, because of the smooth running of this entire universe, of all these six signs, that there can be only one, and man must admit, therefore, that there can be only one. Man admits it, and then he goes and denies it when it comes to belief. But anyway, the denying part, it does not concern us here. Here it is, the six major evidences of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After telling us this with so much power and with so much punch, in the powerful way that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, the point is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this fact is now stated. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فجورها وتقواها. Surah Shams, 91st Surah of the Quran, ayat number 7 and 8, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the soul of man, and by the soul of man, and him who perfectly formed that soul. And by the soul of man, and by him, meaning Allah, and by him who created the soul, him who formed this, and he who fashioned and designed and made this soul, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَلْهَمَهَا, and him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who inspired into the soul the faculty to distinguish and to choose فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, between wickedness and piety, between right and wrong, between good and bad, between sin and virtue. Look at this. Allah gives this powerful 6 proofs and evidences of His might and power and of His glory and of His Tawheed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by the soul, and Him who created and formed the soul, gave it order and proportion, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to the soul of in each man, each soul has been endowed and bestowed with the quality to distinguish between fujuraha wa taqwaha, those things that are wicked and wrong, and the things that are pious, virtuous and good. Subhanallah. Not like what the Christians believe and the Hindus believe, that the soul of man is wretched, that it has committed sin, that it has come into this world with sin. Here's the words of the Quran. That soul of man is inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to choose between the things that are wrong and the things that are right, the things that are bad and the things that are good, the things that are sin and the things that are virtue. Thus we see, in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the soul of man is created and formed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that it is endowed with the faculty of discrimination, of discriminating and distinguishing between evil and good, between wrong and right, and between just and unjust. This is an internal quality formed and created within man by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a quality of the soul of man. Since each person has been blessed with this endowment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands man as follows. Now we come to the actual command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the soul of man is, meaning to man is, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Surah Shams, 91st Surah of the Quran, ayat number 9. And ayat number 10 says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, O man, truly he will succeed who purifies his soul, and he will fail who corrupts his soul. Subhanallah. Allah ta'ala has done his duty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your soul I formed, I created, I designed, I fashioned. And in the soul of each person, each man and woman I've created, I've put within it the quality to distinguish between right and wrong, between sin and between good. This is something that every soul, it is in the nature and disposition of each human being that I have created. This quality is there. It is inherent in the soul of man, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now my command to you is that you will succeed fi dunya wa fil akhirah. You will succeed if you purify that nafs. If you purify that nafs, that soul of yours, if you purify it, you will succeed. And if you fail to purify it, you will corrupt it. The words are, قَدْ أَفَلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. and you will fail. You will reduce yourself, you will go down. Subhanallah. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the end of this, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that each one of us must work hard at cleansing and purifying our souls from being polluted through evil and sin which exists in this world. They must not be seduced by shaitan. Our nafs, we, our soul must not be seduced by shaitan, and we must not be tempted by material possessions. We must not be blinded by material possessions. The nafs of man must be purified through piety, through obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through sincerity and through goodness and virtue and righteousness. If we observe duty and discipline as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will undoubtedly succeed. But if we are unresponsive, if we are neglectful, and if we are indifferent to our duty, then we will corrupt our souls, because then we will be submitting to temptation and to wickedness, and we will then certainly become losers. If we submit to temptation and to wickedness, to impiety, to injustice, then obviously we ourselves, through our own free will and choice, will be corrupting ourselves, our souls. We have the free will and we have the choice. We must choose the best for ourselves and for our souls, as commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That option we must exercise with great care and diligence. Nature provides sufficient proof and substantiation for this. Now look around at the Ummah of Muslims. In the light of what I have said, and these six evidences placed in front of each one of us, and the hukum and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what I am asking you to do is look around at the condition of the Muslims today. What exactly is our position in the light of the above commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am asking you, how have we responded as Muslims, and we who call ourselves the believers, how have we responded to this divine command and injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I am asking you to consider this. That is all I ask you. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sayyidul Kareem, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. All thanks and praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker, our creator, our sustainer. And we send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we send the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the beloved sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, the companions of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our subject is Shaitan's plan for man. And we were busy with the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam and his rebellious people. In this we came to the stage towards the last part of the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, where I pointed out to you, as a result of their rebelliousness, as a result of their disobedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the teachings of their prophet Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, they were punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon them in the form of punishment, whereby stones rained down upon them and crushed them into pieces. After telling you the story of their crushing defeat, humiliation and punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we began exploring the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We questioned ourselves, we asked the question, how has the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to the call, to the teachings and to the sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we looked at certain of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we have reacted and responded to those commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when we met again after that, I decided to expand on that and bring in another lesson of about an hour and a half, in which we looked at further commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we, the ummah of the last and the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have responded to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue with that this week, and I will conclude that following week, in other words next week. We're looking now at the 13th commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is stated in the Quran Majid as follows. Now, these numbers that I give you, number 10, 11, 12, 13, are not in sequence. In other words, that is not how it is in the Quran. They are not numbered in the Quran. There are many, many commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid. I have only selected a few by way of example, merely to bring to our notice how we have responded. When the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam rejected the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they rebelled against it, when they were disobedient, when they defied the teachings of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, you are aware that Allah's wrath and Allah's punishment came down upon them. You and I must ask ourselves this question, that we as the ummah of the merciful Prophet, the last messenger of Allah Ta'ala, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we defy the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are lax, indifferent, and disobedient to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to us? Can we escape the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those are the questions that worry me and should worry you. So let us look at this commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the 13th in our special chapter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Fa'aqim wajhaka lid-dini hanifa, Fitratallahi allati fatarannasa 'alayha, la tabdila li khalqillah, dhalika ad-dinul qayyim, ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Surah Rum, 30th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 30, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O true believers, O Muslimin, O reciters of the Quran, so set your face towards the true religion uprightly. So set yourself, set your face, set your direction towards the true religion, in brackets of Islam, in brackets, the true religion of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So set your face towards the true religion, so set your direction towards the true religion uprightly, steadfastly. And follow the nature in which Allah has framed mankind. And follow the nature, follow the structure, follow the composition, follow the way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, has created mankind, has framed mankind. There is no change in what Allah has created. In that pure nature in which Allah has created you, there is no change in what Allah has created. That, in brackets Islam, that Islam is the right religion for you. But most amongst mankind know this not. But most people amongst man know this not. That is the translation of the ayah number 30 of Surah Rum, 30th Surah of the Quran, which I recited earlier. Now let us look at the commentary. Conviction and steadfastness are required of man in the face of temptations and allurements. Man is disposed of a pure and a refined nature by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is composed of pure, of that which is pure. The soul of man is pure. So man is composed of a pure and a refined nature by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which with the right upbringing, the right education, and the right training will follow the true faith, will be drawn to the true religion. Those who stay on the path and stick to the right direction are bound to arrive at their destination. They need to stay on course and not be misled or tempted away. For this, one needs to have strong faith, meaning strong iman. The fact in favor of man is that we are born with a pure, natural disposition for goodness and piety, and with an inborn sense of belief in one Allah. Our later training and education makes us disposed to goodness and virtue, or inclined to sin and evil, or to be simply indifferent and careless. In the light of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited above, look around you. Look at the ummah of Muslims and tell me, what do you see? How many of us conform and obey? How many of us stay put on the straight path? How many remain unshaken in our iman, in our faith, in our beliefs? Tell me, what is the position of Muslims today? That is all I ask you to consider. Do we hold uprighteously onto the right and the true religion? Are we all positive? Are we all sure? Are we all determined that we are holding onto the right and the true cause, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in His commandment? So set your face, so set your direction towards the true religion uprightly. This is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us are absolutely positive, without a doubt, that we are holding onto the true direction? Or are we terribly unsure?